course, being Home Improvement Month, we say every message are going to be geared towards the home, family, relationships. And so tonight, I just kind of want to talk about the focus of the family or the focus of the home. And so if you would open the precious word of God tonight to the book of Psalm chapter 37, a well-known passage of scripture. We want to look at a few verses here and probably will not be able to finish this. I want to go down through verse 7. But we'll probably only stay on the first verse 3 and verse 4 tonight. And I pray the Lord will help us as we look in His Word and gain strength and some wisdom about our families and homes. And I say, as I was meeting, I met with a group of preachers yesterday. We were eating a lunch and we were talking about some things. And the preacher that was there, he asked me, he said he's having his marriage conference in Pigeon Forge about the same time. And Brother Ron was there. We were all talking. And he said, Brother Mark, the Pastor Roy Hill down in King, North Carolina, said, Brother Mark, he said, I appreciate it. He said, I like the idea of how you do your marriage retreat. And he said, maybe one day when we're up there, we're doing it about the same time, maybe we can get together, merge. He said, it'd be great. Maybe have a service together. And we got to talking about the home. And I said, gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with you. I truly believe that the Home Improvement Month, February, and our marriage retreat, and any time we're trying to strengthen the family and trying to encourage the home, I think is our most important meetings. And I've come to that conclusion just based on this because I've learned this. We should be about the gospel, and we are. We should be about missions, and we are. We should be about seeing souls saved, and we are. We ought to be serving the Lord. We ought to be surrendering our life to the Lord. But I've learned this. When people's lives and their relationships and their homes are not where they want to be, who wants to serve God? Who's going to really serve God with the joy and the fervor that they should when their relationship's not right at home? I'm going to tell you, they're not. Come on. They're not. They're not. We're not. We're just going to be trying to burden to get through the day. And I've told you before, and I believe this, I believe relationships makes life so enjoyable when they're in our right places in our relationships. But life becomes so miserable when they're not. And so when we talk about Home Improvement Month, we understand that I believe, and we believe this, God instituted the home, and we know that God's Word is what we base all of our beliefs on, is the Word of God. But I also believe that the family is the building block of society. And we're wondering why our nation is decaying. It's decaying because our homes are decaying, and we are attacking the society in which we live in, and sin and the devil and culture is always attacking God's design. And God's design is very, very clear and very laid out about marriage and about how God would ask us to and gives us so many principles on how to maintain and develop the right kind of relationships. And so that's our desire here. We're just trying to encourage you, encourage me, encourage each one here. I think about all these teenagers out here, in short order and you know as well as I do, time flies. And before long, they'll all be courting and they'll be getting married. And we sure would like them to be successful at it instead of failing at it. Amen? And so where are we going to get the help? We're going to get it from the Word of God. So Psalm chapter 37, just a few little thoughts here that I pray will help tonight. Verse 3, if you'll start there with me tonight, we'll find the text. The Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now those are two very powerful passages of Scripture, because within these two passages of Scripture, you're going to find the same thing in each. Number one, you're going to find a principle, and then you're going to find a promise. You're going to find a principle. God lays out a principle, and then He's going to lay out a promise. And the principle is our responsibility, and the promise is God's responsibility. And I can promise you this, God always keeps His end of the bargain. So I want to focus tonight on just simply these principles and promises tonight. And I want to look at this thought. Spiritual healthy homes have experienced much labor and commitment by the ones who make up that home and family. We say this all the time. You know, anything that is strong is because it's been worked at. And I want to emphasize the need for the proper focus within the home and the family tonight. And I want to say this. Tragically, many families have built their families and lives and marriage on the right foundation. And what I mean by that is both maybe mom and dad or husband and wife. Of course, you got to be husband and wife first, right? Husband and wife, they are two Christian people. And by the way, if you're going to get married, you ought to be able to love each other like you should love each other. And so you'll never be able to love each other until you know love, and we know God is love. And so we have to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so when you know Jesus Christ your Savior and someone else knows Jesus Christ and you feel like the Lord has led you to marry, that's wonderful. Now I believe that being unequally yoked has more to do than being saved than unsaved, but at least that's the base start is you don't want to date someone, or definitely you don't want to marry someone that's not a Christian if you're a Christian. But when we're a Christian, we enter in to be married, and tragically I've seen this. I've seen families build on the right foundation. They've both been saved, and for a time I've seen that family grow. I've seen that family mature. I've seen that family do right. But tragically, I must say to you that I have seen so many families that were started right. And what I mean by that, husband and wife were both saved and they wanted to serve the Lord, and so they started out right. But somewhere along the way, they lost focus and something chipped away at that relationship. And we know tragically that many of them has not put forth the necessary effort to keep their family strong and stable. And sadly, over time, we've seen them lose their focus, and we've seen families destroyed by it. And I don't believe that people set out intentionally to do that. I just want you to know, it happens. It happens. I'm not saying that when people fail in things, it's not because they sought out to fail. They didn't start out to fail, but I want you to know something. Anything that's not kept, anything that's not watched, anything that's not worked at, anything that's not improved, anything that's not safeguarded, anything that's lost focus on will do exactly that. It will fail. And so when we think about this passage of Scripture, I just want to encourage you tonight, and I want to encourage myself tonight for us just to really to be looking at our families and our relationships through the perfect or through a proper perspective, and let's look through the focus of some things that we find in this Scripture to help us focus in on our family and in our home. First one, I want you to notice in verse 3. It's very simple. It's just simply this: dependence upon the Lord. Dependence upon the Lord. I want you to look at verse number 3, trust in the Lord. That's very simple, isn't it? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I believe that would say to us to depend upon Him. Then it says to do good. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, I want to focus on just a moment before I start on this, really, these two principles. I want to look at the word dwell just a minute. Now, as I was studying this passage of Scripture and I began to look at this word dwell, here's what I came up with. It's to settle down, to abide, or to establish. And He's dealing with our personal lives and our homes. Now, I want you to think about this dependence on the Lord. He's dealing with dwelling. You will dwell in the land. You're going to dwell in the peace and contentment if we're going to depend on Him. And so when we think about our dwellings, our homes, our lives, we want to dwell in the land. We want to be stable. We're living in a day where there's so many homes and families. I mean, look, they're just so unstable. And we wonder why, because we're missing this first principle. We've got to trust, depend on the Lord. Our dwelling is not going to have peace and contentment if we are not trusting and dwelling and expecting and depending on the Prince of Peace. So we find in this passage this dependence on the Lord, and we find that this word dwell is the key to the verse, because this is why we're dealing with the home tonight, the family tonight, the life tonight, is we want to dwell in the land. We don't want to have war in the land. We don't want to be unstable. I think as we continue to grow in our families, the longer that you are married together, the longer and the closer you get to the Lord, the more stable your relationship with the Lord becomes, and your relationship with the Lord should make your relationship with your spouse and your family more stable. Why? We're dwelling. He stabilizes homes. Why? When we depend upon Him. So this word dwell is to settle down, to abide, or to establish. So the Lord Jesus can establish our home. I say to every teenager here, you can look the world over and try your way all you want. You'll never stabilize yourself. The Lord Jesus does the stabilizing. Why? The Bible says, trust the Lord and do good, shall thou dwell in the land. Now I want you to notice that's the principle is just simply this. It's a twofold principle here in this passage that we find about dwelling. About being established, about being prosperous, about being stabilized, settling in. Look what it says. Look at the principles, twofold. Number one, and look here. Someone says, oh, the Christian life's hard. Well, I get what you're saying, but really the Christian life is not hard. It's pretty simple. It's just hard for us to want to do it God's way. But when we do it God's way and we follow these simple principles, it does simplify life. So let's look how simple this is. If we're going to dwell in the land, we're going to be established, we're going to be maintained to have this focus on the home. I love this. These are so simple. But look at the first one. Trust in the Lord. Did y'all get that? That's deep, isn't it? Wait a minute, Pastor, you want to dwell in the land? Yes, I want to dwell in the land. I want to focus on my family. I want to make sure that I'm stabilized. I want to make sure that I'm going to prosper. I want to make sure that I'm settling in. Well, then what God says the principle is, then what is it? Trust in the Lord. Trust the Lord. So let's just start there. That's simple, isn't it? Simple enough, right? Simple enough, right? Hard to live by. Trust in the Lord. Why are we always wanting to pick up things and do it our way? Trust the Lord. You know when most homes get in trouble? When we do it our way. When we just simply don't trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we find out that we're not dwelling, we're not stabilized. Why? Because we're not trusting in the Lord. We're trusting in someone else. We're trusting in something else. We're trusting in our abilities. We're not trusting in Him. So the Bible says very clearly here, this principle is powerful. It's simple. Trust in the Lord. He wants us to trust Him. Dad, He wants you to trust Him. Mom, He wants you to trust Him. Husband, He wants you to trust Him. Wife, He wants you to trust Him. You know what that means? That means even when it's dark, right in the middle of the storm, trust Him. That means no matter what's going on in your life, trust Him. He wants us to trust Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. He wants us to please Him. We ought to trust Him. So He just says, trust in the Lord. Not our own way, His way. Trust Him, even when. And I want to say this, just this way, even when you don't understand. You know, I've learned a lot of young married people. You know, they started this thing. And by the way, let me just help everybody here. If I think some young people, when they get started in marriage, and I'm glad they feel that way, but they wake up real quick. You know, they think it's going to be easy and it's the most wonderful thing in the world. It's the hardest thing you'll ever get involved in. I got one person that's alive tonight. All of you that feel that way, would you shout amen? Amen. It's the good, strong homes and families don't just poof. You know, you don't throw it in the microwave in 30 seconds and poof. But people get married and they honestly think that. Someone told me just the other day, so I'd tell you what, if I knew it was going to be like this, I wouldn't have got married. I said, well, you should have thought like that before you got married. I had someone tell me years ago, said, Brother Mark, you're trying to talk me out of getting married. Yes, because I'm telling you right now, it's the hardest thing you'll ever be involved in. It's commitment. But I say, the Bible says trust Him. And so here's where I was going. I got off a little rabbit trail. I need to get back up here. But trust even when you don't understand. Because here's what happens. You know, some people, they go, what did you know it was going to be like this? I don't understand what's going on. Wait a minute. Trusting, Dad. Well, I just didn't think this man was like this. It's amazing what happens, you know. Because when we court and all that, because you only know certain things. But all of a sudden when, you know, their feet smell. Oh, I didn't know his feet's been. Even when you don't understand, you say, what do I do? How do I get through the day? Trust in the Lord. Hunker down, hold on, and trust him. Even when it don't make sense, because one day it will make sense. It's never wrong to trust God. It's always right. So trust the Lord. Number two, simple now. Look at the next principle here. This is amazing. Trust the Lord. We're talking about dwelling now, being established, having a strong home, keeping our focus right. Trust the Lord. And what's that next one? Teenagers, that next word, those next two words. Trust the Lord in what? Somebody say it. Do good. You tell me we come here on Wednesday night to hear that. Oh, that's Bible. How many of y'all believe that's the Bible? How many of y'all believe that's God's word? How many of y'all believe it means to do good? Does everybody here know what good means? How many knows what the good will of God is? Do good. If I asked every teenager, you know what good is? It's not bad, right? You know what bad is? It's not good. Serving God's always good. Sinning against God's always good. Doing it your way and not trusting God is always. Sin is always. Trust is always. If it's trusting in the Lord, is always. God's will is always. My will's probably always bad. See, we want to make everything hard. Well, Pastor, what do you do? Do good. When you and your wife and your family, you have decisions to make, and there's decisions to make, you got things to do, you already know the answer. Do good. Pay your bills. They're good. Don't be late on your bills. That's bad. If you owe a man, pay the man. If you give somebody a promise, keep the promise. A bad testimony or a good testimony? We all know what that means. So God's not very simple here. He says, if you want to establish yourself, trust in the Lord and do good. I don't think I have to explain that to any teenager here tonight. Everybody here knows that that word means do good means good. Serving God's always good. Loving God's always good. Do good. So let's look at the principle. The principle's twofold. Trust in the Lord. We can all do that. And by the way, if you're here tonight, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to have to trust Him as your Savior. It's faith. Put your faith in Christ. You don't even know what life is till you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So all life begins with trusting Jesus. And then the Bible says if you want your home and you want to dwell in the land, and that means you're stabilized, you're on the right foundation, you're moving forward, you're settled, you're stabilized, you're abiding in Him. The two things with that happening, dwelling, is number one, you're trusting in the Lord. Number two, you're doing good. A good life. A good family does good, not bad. Good people. A godly life. A good testimony. You do good. And bad. Those are the two principles. Now, does anyone not understand that tonight? See, everybody understand. You see how simple God is, but how powerful. Look at the promise. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, here's God's promise. Woo, I love His promise. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. There's two things He promises here. Number one, here's what I love about this. The promise is this. If we trust in the Lord and we do good, we keep our end, here's what He says. He will provide stability. You'll dwell. That word means stability. That means to abide. That means to be settled. Now notice, dwell in the land. This promise I just told you a moment ago is meaning to abide. Now look, this promise was to Israel concerning the promised land. But this application, there is a wonderful application for us. But there is an application for us as well. Remember, dwell means to settle down or to abide, to be established. And if we trust the Lord and we do good, He promises us to settle our lives and establish us. And how many homes, how many people here would like to have a home and enjoys a home that's been established and settled? Who wants turmoil? Who wants chaos? Well, we live in a day where everybody, they must think that, I mean, we must like it because it amazes me how much chaos is in people's homes and lives today. And it makes it so harder. Life's hard. Make it simple. Do good. Trust in the Lord. Simple principles, powerful promise. If we trust in the Lord, we do good. He promises us to settle our lives and to establish it. What a promise that we can be established in Him. And no matter the adversity or the storms that come in our lives, He will establish us. He gives us stability. By the way, Jesus is my stability in this sinking sand. He stables it. Look, he promises stability. Then here, look at the second. I love this. You shall be fed. Here it is. He'll provide strength. We all need strength. Shall be fed. Notice this. He'll meet the needs of his people. When we trust in him, we do good. He provides stability. He provides strength. And oh, in this day, how we need to feed from the master's table and glean the strength from God. He provides strength. Look, we can draw strength from the living well tonight. Y'all with me? We can draw strength from the living well that never runs dry. And by the way, if we're going to have the stable home, we're going to focus on things, we're going to have his power, we're going to have his empowerment. And so we understand we have to have his strength. He promises stability. He promises strength. And that's our part, is to trust him and do good. How many of us can do that tonight? Everyone in here tonight can trust him, and everybody here can do good. And then I promise you this, God will keep his promise. He'll help us to dwell in the land, and he will provide strength and stability. What a promise. How many of y'all want that promise? Well, let's do our part. Because that's a promise God gives, not me. And then I want you to notice, as I close tonight quickly, I want you to notice not only that we should depend upon the Lord, but I want you to notice our desire for the Lord. Look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is powerful. Here's a principle with a promise. Now, the principle is our part. The promise is his part, and I love it. Our desire for the Lord. The Bible says delight. Now, this is not a promise for wealth and health. It's much more than that. Here's the principle. Look at the word delight. What does that mean? Delight in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. It's to take exquisite delight in. To make merry over. Now, I want to just stop here just a second and think about this. That, in other words, we should be making much of him. And I'm sorry to tell you tonight, and you know this as well as I don't want to be a prophet of doom tonight, but I want you to know we're living in a day where I don't see very many families making much about Jesus anymore. I'm hearing and seeing families and people and individuals and even myself at times, we're delighting and making merry over everything but him. But him. And then we wonder why we're not established. We're delighting in everything else. We were talking to a young lady earlier. It would encourage me. And just a simple, powerful statement, though, and I understand there's many times we try to do it our way, and we always realize without God, it's always the wrong way. It really harms us. We're just dummies, and we say, I tell you what, I'm going to find out for myself. I'm going to do it. I know that happened to him, but I'll get past it unscathed. No, you won't. You're not going to pass. By the way, you're not going to be, look, if God says it, you might as well mark her down. It's going to happen. But what's this passage? Delight thyself also in the Lord. And we need a great revival in this. Make ourselves happy in Jesus, man. Happy in Jesus. We're exquisitely delighting in him. We are making much merry about him. I'm not being ugly, but if we were taking this passage truthfully, there wouldn't be anything else on Facebook but talking about the Lord. We're delighting in him. We're making much to do about him. We're making merry about him. Hey, we're delighting in him. And Bible says if we'll delight in him, he gives a promise. He said, I'll give you the desires of thine heart. See, the world, the Lord is being replaced with so many other things today. Worldly pursuits, pleasures, other things. We're not delighting in Him. We need revival to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. And Mike Crabtree knows we've been praying. I appreciate it. We've been praying. We prayed this morning. Came down here. We prayed at the altar. Brother Larry came yesterday. I was gone. Brother Clay and him prayed. And I made this as I was praying. I want y'all to know something. If revival hit, most Christians would be scared to death. Because I can promise you this. Wouldn't be everyday normal stuff. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I've read and I have listened to eyewitness accounts of people in the New Hebrides Island, on Lewis Island. I'm going to tell you something right now. Most people will be scared to death when the presence of God hit. Unusual things take place. But I'll tell you one thing that has been associated with every move of God. They can't say enough about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. They're thankful for the presence of the Lord. They're delighting in the Lord. And boy, we have all these fake things that we are replacing Him with today, and we wonder why our homes are not established. The Bible says delight. What's the promise? Now, the principle is, are we delighting? Are we making it a big to-do about Jesus? Are we being merry about Jesus? That's what that word means, to delight, to take exquisite delight in, to make merry over. Boy, that's convicting to me because I'm going to be honest with you. When's the last time we've just spent a whole day making sure we've delighted in the Lord? A whole day. Notice what he says, the promise. He shall give the desires of thine heart. He said, preacher, what's that mean? I had to go to Bible college to get this, but are y'all ready? It means exactly what he says. It means exactly what he says. Oh, preacher, does that mean that I can pray and I'm going to get $1 million in the mail? Well, I'm going to be honest with you, probably not, but it could happen. I'm going to be honest, we prayed that time for, you know, we didn't have, and, you know, it wasn't no $1 million. It was $300. It was like $1 million, and it came in the mail. But, you know, I don't go out every day looking in the mailbox looking for money. But I'll tell you what this verse means. Y'all ready? These little verses, here's what it means. Give the desires of the heart. Now, I just have a sneaky suspicion that if I'm depending on Him, and I'm trusting in Him, and I'm doing good, and I'm delighting in Him, I'm going to tell you what I believe that verse means. That means I'm pretty much in tune with Him. I'm pretty in tune with Him. And if I'm delighting in Him and I'm trusting in Him and I'm doing good and I'm doing good and I'm depending on Him and He's my establishment, He's my life, He's my light, and I'm in all proper places, there are these principles in this verse. I'm going to tell you what that verse means. My desires are going to be His desires. And all God's people said right there. So when God says He'll give you the desires of your heart, that's exactly what He'll do. But He's given that principle, that promise, after these principles are being kept. So you say, Pastor, how are you going to close? We'll close like this. Here's our part. Here's what we got to focus on. Trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. What's the second one? Do good. Every teenager here, you know what that means, do good. You know what trust in the Lord means. Do good. What's that next one? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give the desires of the heart. Here's what's amazing about that. His will becomes my desire. What a wonderful way to live. And let me just say, church, I've been there in my life at times, and I desire to be there all of the days of my life. And I can promise you this, 3403 Angela Lane is a whole lot better place when this is taking place in this old boy's life. This lady right here is much more established in the Lord, and I'm much more established in the Lord, and my family is so much more established in the Lord and abiding in the Lord when I am keeping the principles that God gives me in these little verses, because I am enjoying the promises that He keeps. I would rather dwell than fight. I'd rather dwell and be established than be a wreck. I'd rather dwell than it be a war zone. I'd rather dwell and it be established and abiding, and it's a wonderful thing to enjoy in the home. But when those things aren't in their place, Katie, bar the door. It can get as nasty can be. And then people throw their hands up and say, I just don't understand. He's crazy. She's crazy. We just don't get each other. Certainly you're not going to get each other without the one who made you. That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard in my life. Two people get together and they think they're going to love each other and get to do each other and be everything without the one that made you in it. And all God's people said amen, because you want to leave. Let's stand to our feet.